than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, I don't know. Should we take that Apple Podcast thing out of the intro? I kind of feel like we have to at this point because we got a lot of people having issues with Apple Podcast. And
what's up with
we
Apple?
We hear you. I don't know.
They're a multi-zillion-dollar company. It's like Ray Lewis said, you're a zillion-dollar company and your lights go out. You're a zillion-dollar company and your app goes out. Like, there's something wrong with that. I don't know what's up. Sorry, everybody. Apple's being dumb.
We're trying to figure out the issue. Luckily, it's only preseason. I guess we can say that at least, that, you know, this isn't happening during the regular season. But time is of the essence. We got one preseason game left. One left. And hopefully we can get it fixed by the time of the regular season. But anyway, let's talk about the Ravens. We're halfway through the preseason. We've got two games down, and we're at 19 wins in a row for Coach Harbaugh. And I think we're going to rename that Lombardi Trophy to the Harbaugh Bowl, maybe. He deserves it, winning all these preseason games in a row. What a streak he's got going on. But Josh, man, let's talk a little bit about that game in Carolina. What were your thoughts on this game? What did you think of this second preseason game of 2021?
What I thought about the second game of preseason 2021, I thought the team played overall okay. Looking at the game from start to finish, it was a great body of work, a complete game. I mean, they went down 3-0. It was a shutout in the first quarter, I believe. And then the Ravens scored the next 20 points, go 20-3. If any game, I'm not sitting here saying, well, the Ravens they're primed and ready for a playoff team. They're great all the way down from first string to third string, and there's no issues. I'm not saying that at all. Just saying, if you look at the game on the scoreboard, they won 20-3. They held the Panthers for, I think, under 200 yards on offense as far as the defensive unit's concerned. I think there are a lot more bright spots in this one than negatives. Starting with the negatives, what I saw, there's a lot of batted passes on the line of scrimmage. I felt like, you know, Huntley had a few opportunities, especially the first one, right? First pass in the game was a tip drill pick, and deep in the Ravens territory there in their own territory. And I felt like the Ravens came out swinging. They ran the ball effectively, which we know they can do. It was exciting to see Gus Edwards out there. Dobbins was also out there, got a few touches. What I loved about seeing the offensive line is the run blocking. You know, the batted balls are an issue with this line already. And we had the guys out there. You had Bozeman, you had Zietler, you had Villanueva. Pretty much the only guy that wasn't a starter on the line was Stanley. He was sidelined as well still. So
we might see him this Saturday, Ronnie Stanley. He's been practicing in full pads, and there's some talk that he might be making his first appearance in this third game.
Yeah, there might be an appearance there. And, you know, I really hope he can get in there to knock off the rust. You know, if we're going to, you know, bring him back off of that injury last year, I'd rather him get some playing time, but it's not up to us, right? We can sit there and say we want this guy in and we need this guy in, but we're not going to make the case. First off, the doctors have to clear him. And then the coaching staff and the team has to make sure that they do everything right to bring it back, because we don't want to see another injury happen. But what I loved about the Ravens, how they started, right? Start off running the ball. We understand there was an interception on the first pass. How about the defense being resilient? And I love the fact that the Panthers ended up going for it. It's preseason. You're on the goal line. You got stuffed on third down. Just like preseason game number one, Patrick Queen, when he had those two stops in a row, he had to run down on the sideline for stuffing the run. And then he had the quarterback sack in two consecutive plays. Two consecutive goal line on third and fourth and goal. Deshaun Elliott, the Joker, came up big. With two big stops. So that was impressive of the defense. And you saw some starters out there, did you not? Remember seeing Brandon Williams on the line? We saw Derek Wolfe out there. Like, he didn't get hurt as well. I know you've had some, you know, something to say about his issues with that. So he remained healthy as well. You know, Marlon Humphrey didn't play. Obviously, the groin sidelined him. We didn't see Marcus Peters, but we saw pretty much every other defensive starter out there, for the ones that were held back. But that impressed me much is not only with the turnover being a negative, but the positive. The Ravens said, no, they're not getting in. The Panthers did us a favor by not kicking a field goal that close. I love that resilience coming back. The defense, what a performance, pretty much lights out. And then obviously the Panthers kicked the field goal in the second quarter. Ravens matched that. Overall, no, I love the way the Ravens played. Coaching was an issue for me, especially at the end of the second quarter. I was trying to figure out what the crap was going on there, because if you run back the scenario, the Ravens had one timeout. They were well within field goal range at that point, whether it was Tucker, Verity kicking besides the point. I remember there's 24 seconds left. They ran a play, and I think it was a pass play. Pass was caught. And instead of calling it a timeout right away, or at least like getting up to the line, letting the clock run down, and either spiking it or even calling a timeout, what they did is they kind of like – they called the timeout right away. It was weird. Like, they ran a play 24 seconds, called a timeout. This is how the sequence went in my mind. And I'm thinking, like, why'd you call a timeout there?
Right.
So then they tried to run a play. And then, but if you remember what they did, they tried to like, okay, they ran a play on third down. It was fourth down, the clock's ticking 24, 23, 22 and down. And they rushed the field goal unit on the field to get the kickoff in time before the time expired. It wasn't a successful field goal, almost missed. It was a penalty on the defense for being like, not lined up properly, legal procedure. Ultimately, the field goal remained good. But to me, there's where I think Harbaugh's coaching blunders get him in trouble. I get it, right? You said it on the onset of the call. Should name the trophy Harbaugh because obviously they could surpass Lombardi's preseason record with his team. I would be well short to name the trophy after him because of these coaching blunders, because I don't think Vince Lombardi would do something like this, and nor was I alive when he did it.
Right. Harbaugh's always had an issue with clock management. That is, if there's anything.
Timeouts or clock management, he like disappears.
Now, let me say, John Harbaugh is a fantastic coach. You know, I am not taking anything away from him whatsoever. However, in his tenure here as the head coach of the Ravens, his clock control and his clock management can be a little suspect at times. You know, if there is any gripe we have about this coach, it has to be the clock management that he has.
Oh, it certainly is. It's always been a pain of mine to really see how he handles the clock. I never liked it to begin with. But there, it just was a weird sequence. Like, why are you going to call a timeout, then run a play, then rush the field goal unit on the field? Like, if that was a real game scenario, that does not make any sense. Why don't you run the play? It's third down. You're well within field goal range. Why don't you go up and spike it? It's fourth down at that time. You can either preserve the timeout or run another rushing play, or maybe do the hurry-up offense there, running another spike, or let it go down and call your timeout with 2 seconds left. Get your kicker out there. Get set up. You can run the play smoothly. Kick it through, and if he ends up missing it, oh well. Now, I don't even think it was Tucker at that point. I think Verity was kicking for us at that point. But I guess beggars can't be choosers. I mean, there's always something to work on here. But, I mean, yeah, the end result, the Ravens won. And everybody keeps asking, you know, and I want to pose you, it's like, why make a big deal to streak? Why not? You know, Tyus Bowser is already on the record saying this, and so is Harbaugh. If there's a scoreboard, we're going to win it. And that's competitive nature of it, you know.
That's the Ravens mentality there.
Why you keep a score in a preseason, score don't matter. If it was just truly a scrimmage and we get these games don't count, they don't matter, apart from other than evaluation. But then why you have game clock, time clock? Why do you have penalties? Why, I mean, not to say, you know, don't run it like a regular game. You have to, but it's like we can open it up. You know, it's same thing. You know, whether you're playing street ball with your friends, playing Monopoly with your family, there's always got to be a winner. You know, out, you know, I always joke when I play mini golf with my family, they'll laugh at this. I'm competitive. I got to win. Like, I ain't finishing last. I don't care if I'm in the middle. I got to win. But if I don't win, I better not be last. So, it's just, we're all competitive, man. And I love the Ravens mentality of that. If there's a scoreboard out there, we're going to win it. And they've won 19 straight preseason games dating back to September of 2015. I feel like it's a big deal. I mean, it's been brought up. Good Morning Football did a segment about it. They made it a big deal. Adam Schefter made it a big deal by putting it out there. And I didn't know until he put it out there that it was a Vince Lombardi's Packers team record. Like, and that's why I feel like it's more of a big deal, because if it wasn't a big deal, then why is there a stat about it? If it wasn't a big deal, then why does Vince Lombardi have a record out there with that? I mean, preseason wins are fun, you know, in that, but it's just, it's something to speak about. And I talked about a few of this. I want to hear your take. I think it's an awesome streak and impressive. And here's why, because it ain't just like the starters, even if the starters, there's turnover every year in the NFL, we get it, right? The same 11 guys on offense and defense never start year to year. There's turnover. Guys leave, guys stay, whatever, get hurt, you move on, whatever, retire. And I feel like with all the variables that are in place, right, your second and third stringers going against their first, second, third stringers, or whatever combination there is. Some starters play, some don't. You see a sprinkle of them here, some don't. Some don't even play the whole game at all. It's intermixed, and with a unit, every game, if you look at every game, the starters are not the same. From the game against the Saints till the game against the Panthers, the starting units look totally different. And starters, I remember Marcus Peters was out there during the Saints in the home game. I didn't see him in Carolina. You know, I didn't see Gus Edwards in the Saints game, but I saw him in Carolina. So there's so many personnel moves that to win 18 straight meaningless games with people who might not even make the team in 2 weeks, that's a feat. And that's kind of what I really want to talk about. I mean, we can talk about the game and the breakdown to win. I mean, other than, you know, we'll talk about, we did lose a player, and we'll talk about the impacts of that, but in the evaluations, but I really want to take a moment to really hone in on the streak, that because I feel like it's not talked about enough. You know, I don't have my ears 24/7 on the airwaves of the local stations out there to hear what they're saying about it. I love to hear if you're hearing any chatter out there, but I think it's an absolutely big deal. And if they can close out this preseason with another third straight win and get that 20th win, I personally think it sets a tone for the regular season, because it cultivates a winning culture. And you might say, well, Josh and Brandon, they won all these preseason games and they're cultivating that winning. Well, why isn't it translate? It doesn't translate in January the last 3 years, but the Ravens have the highest winning percentage of any team in the last probably decade, I'm sure, at least in the last 3 years. It's creating a winning culture. And if they can get that 20th win, to finish my point, I think it sets a tone for this year. You get the streak, everybody's talking about it, and it creates that camaraderie with the team. The team's gelling. Everybody trusts each other. I mean, to me, when you're playing winning football like that and there's nothing to harp on, like if they're getting beat, I'm not saying if the streak wasn't a lie, but if they were getting beat, like, Brandon, it would be a different discussion if the streak wasn't abundant. And there are a few negatives in this game, and we called out a few batted balls, coaching blunders. There are a few missed tackles here and there, you know, but if they got blew out 44-0 in the preseason game against Carolina, and there were 7 turnovers by the team. I mean, the Saints committed 6 turnovers on Saturday. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, they got issues. You know, we all got issues. The Ravens do, but it's just like, there'd be way more stuff to worry about if this team was like imploding in the preseason. I'm like, well, our backups couldn't even get it done, or our backups ain't doing this, but they're winning. They're missing cues, and they're still winning and putting a good foot forward. So I think it's a great tone setter. I think it's great that they're involved in the streak in some way, shape, or form, and really didn't really come into relevance, I think, until this year, because of the streak was pretty much going to be beat or tied. And it is, because I mean, I think it was probably mentioned, what, a year ago? Could have been like Jerry Sandusky, oh, the Ravens win their 14th in a row. And I'm like, no one probably cared. No one probably even thought about it till now. Now, because it's relevant, because there's a record to be broken, and now it's tied. So whether they lose next week, we're still up there because they tied that streak, and it's unprecedented. And that's the word I'm searching for. It's an unprecedented run, and it's certainly a run that – again, with all the variables, I mean, the Patriots went undefeated, won 18 straight games, and lost in the Super Bowl with the same squad, same starters. you know, here you're talking Turner again, going back to my point. I think it's impressive. It's an impressive feat, man. What do you think of all that? They unpack all that streak and the preseason and what they've accomplished over the years. What do you think?
You know, it's a streak that means absolutely nothing. I mean, everyone's saying that these games.
I said all that, and you said it means nothing. Oh my God!
No. I'm kidding. That is a big thing. It's like, why does anybody care? You know, it's a streak that means nothing. There's no trophy at the end of the preseason. There's nothing out there to say why this is special. But the Ravens mentality, as the organization as a whole, it's always, you know, we're the underdogs. We're the guys that nobody else wants to see. We're the guys that nobody else wants in their team. Nobody wants to go against us. We're the underdogs. The world's against us. I'm sure that mentality is preached during camp and during training camp. So when these second, third string guys come out, they've got that Ravens mentality of nobody else wants me. You know, everyone's against us. The world's against us. So even in this preseason, when there's nothing really to play for, these guys got something to prove. And I think that's what really works so well with the Ravens is it doesn't matter, you know, what line you're on, you know, if you're first string, second string, third string, you know, if you play well, they're going to notice you and they're going to find a place for you, whether it be on this team or another team, like we're seeing, you know, with the kicking situation. So I think that the Ravens mentality is preached from the beginning. I love it. It's very Baltimore-esque. Baltimore as a town always thinks that we're the underdog. And, you know, you've got Philadelphia and you've got D.C. We're kind of sandwiched in the middle. Nobody wants to come here. Everybody wants to go to those two places. We're the underdogs. We're better than them, and they just don't realize it. So I think that's the mentality that is constantly preached in this organization. And, I mean, it works. You know, I always go back to wrestling whenever I think of anything in this world. And you look at, you know, back in the day when it was the WWF, WCW, and then there was this little group called ECW in Philadelphia. You know, you look up there, the speech Paul Heyman gave before Beyond the Mat, before their big pay-per-view. Nobody else wants you, but you're here, and we're going to prove them wrong. That's exactly what the Ravens do. And, you know, if you do play well, and you take this opportunity you're given in the preseason, you do play well, there's a chance you make this team, or there's a chance you make another NFL team. You know, it's everyone's taking that opportunity given, and the Ravens work that so well into the motivation to play. They take that motivation, they take that, and they push players. And that's what you want to see in these preseason games. You want people out there to prove a point. You want people to prove that, yeah, I belong in this league. I should be here. And you're seeing that. The Ravens know how to do it. John Harbaugh knows how to inspire players and get players to do what he wants them to do. It's a sign of how good this organization is. Does it always work out? No. I mean, Good Morning Football brought it up, the streak, and they said how one of the last touchdowns in, I guess it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I don't even remember, but it was Ryan Mallett, and he's coaching high school football right now. So, but, you know, it's these weird players that you're never going to hear from again, but this is like their one chance. This is their one spotlight. Like, you know, they're still their fire still burns. They're like, they're taking this chance and they're going to try to get on the field. So they're taking every opportunity they're given. That's what you want to see. That's what makes this team so special, is that, you know, this is once in a lifetime. You've got this one opportunity. You gotta grab that brass ring and you gotta take it. And that's what these guys do. And I love it. That's why I love watching preseason. It's a bunch of hungry players trying to find a spot, living out their dream. You know, in the regular season, there's a lot of jaded players in the NFL. There's a lot of players that are getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they're just, you know, it's just a paycheck. A good example of this, though, let's talk a little bit about James Prochet. He's a guy who's been on the field. He's really impressed in training camp. I haven't been really impressed with what I'm seeing on the field for games. However, I was listening to or watching the Purple Playbook on WJZ. It's Torrey Smith's show. And he brought up James Prochet, and he was like, look, as a player, these games aren't really that important. It's the training camp and the scrimmage, these kind of dual practices, that's what's really important, because you're showing off for your coach, you're showing off for your teammates. If there is like a skirmish going on at practice, you want to get in the middle to show that, you know, you've got your back, these guys are your brothers. So Torrey Smith kind of brought up something that I was kind of preaching last week, where I was like, I want to see what this guy can do in a game. Torrey Smith is saying the exact opposite. I want to see what this guy can do on the practice field, because these games are more of like a show than they are of a skill, kind of. So it's very interesting where I'm like, hey, let's see what this guy can do on a preseason game, when really the spotlight's on the practices and to see how he interacts with his with the other players. And these scrimmages that are kind of behind closed doors a little bit are almost more important than the preseason games. I did not realize that.
No, you really don't. And coming from a player, former player, it kind of holds a lot of weight, right? It means something because he's got that inside perspective. He lived and breathed it. You know, he won a title for two teams. You know, he's got two multiple championships, and you know, he lived and breathed it in Baltimore, got his first one here, and then went up to Philly and got another one. And he knows, you know, it's not what you do in these preseason games, because it's just a flash. It's, hey, we're putting in the work. And not only that, but there's a report, remember, they were putting stories about it. James Perse was the first on the field for the team, you know, and he was waking up early, getting out there. And that's my kind of guy. I love everything about his work ethic. And remember, there's something to be said to that. There was a piece that put out there. He was interviewed about it. The late, great Kobe Bryant, mama mentality. That's what he lives by. Probably one of the reasons why I still have him on my fantasy squad. He's on my bench for a reason, because I'm looking to see him grow. I'm looking to see him flourish. And I see promise there. And with the Ravens receiving core the way it is, there's certainly something there. With special teams the way it is, there's certainly something there. He can step up. And that, and there's where it is, not only in the games, but practices and putting it all together and shining. And I love the guy and what he can bring here. I do fully believe confidently he'll make the final 53-man roster.
Well, I mean, this week you look at it. Let me pull it up real quick, see if I can find it. How important James Proche is going to be, because it seems like a lot of these wide receivers, this wide receiver core, they're pretty depleted right now. He was back on the field on Wednesday. He missed Tuesday's practice. But you look at the other players that weren't there, and Hollywood Brown, he was not there. Sammy Watkins was not there. Miles Boykin was not there. Rashad Bateman, of course, he did not practice on Wednesday either. So it was Proche, Duvernay, and Jalen Moore. They were the wide receivers. So, you know, hopefully these are just kind of either veteran days off or, you know, the maintenance days maybe. But, it's kind of funny, but Proche might be like the number one guy for the wide receiver core going into this last preseason game.
Might be. I don't see a situation where Hollywood plays. I don't see Watkins playing. Boykin seemingly played himself off the team. I haven't heard from his name, if any. Duvernay's been out there, and Proche, you're right. If it ain't James Proche, who's going to be? I mean, Bateman's still coming back from the injury. Tylan Wallace has had some looks. He looked good. You know, he had some catches, had some bright spots. He had one catch set up to score the touchdown run. And that's another thing. Speaking of running, my boy, Tyson Williams, I told you, remember looking out for him.
I noticed him.
He scored his second touchdown of the preseason, two games. I think he's all but solidified that third spot if it were my decision. That just shows you the mentality of the team. They take that moment and they capitalize on the runs. They capitalize on the passes. They capitalize on the routes, the catches, everything, the execution. And just seemingly with either by play or by happenstance, we know Huntley has solidified the second position right now. We understand Trace McShirley is still dealing with the back spasms. You know, Tyler Huntley took every snap under offense on Saturday night, rightfully so. I thought he was good. I mean, the interceptions and the batted balls, a combination of him, you know, there's something he can do there in adjusting. There's something the line can do there as well. But I think he was resilient. There was a couple of design runs he had I thought were very executed well to set the team up. But not only that, but bringing it all together, right? You know, stepping up to the plate, taking advantage of opportunities. You know, it's always been the mantra around here, play like a Raven, right? And what's that mean? There's a piece out there, like, what's play like a Raven mean? It was that, like, you know, the physicality, the mentality of the team and the player. What's James Perse doing? What are these guys doing every time? Practice and everything, like Torrey Smith said. You in practice, you get the feedback. You do things wrong, you do things right. You get the feedback from your coaches and you build, you do better. What are the Ravens, you know, you know, you always hear coach speak right in the podium when they lose. We got to be better at this. We got to be better at that. They say the right things at the podium, but when it comes down to it, they basically have to really put it in the practice. They can say all the right things, but when it comes down to it, they just really need to focus up and help the team focus in that regard. So that's what Mamba mentality means. Playing like a Raven, it all intertwines. And I really think the way the Ravens are shaping up in this final preseason game in DC or Landover, Maryland, if you really want to get technical, they always say Maryland's got two teams, and it's actually true. Looking forward to the Washington game. I want to say you're going to see Lamar. My heart says I want to see him for a few just because I just want to get Russ out there. But it's like, look, they play on August 28th. That means they don't go to Vegas and play until the night of September 13th. So it's like, is really Lamar getting one or two series really going to matter? Absolutely not. I mean, my heart wants to see him out there because we're all excited to see the guys. We're excited to finally get to see him for the first time in an actual live game scenario, even if it doesn't mean anything or does mean something since the playoff loss. He got knocked out with a concussion. You know, we've seen him in practice. We've seen what we can do. We hear all the accolades, but I don't think you're going to see the starters in much at all. I think this is going to be where last minute evaluation is going to be made. I think this is the game where you're going to see who's going to make it and who's going to not. Like you're talking about opportunities and taking advantage of the moments. This is the game to do it in. And I would be really surprised if I see any starters out there. I mean, you might see a few sprinkling in offensive defense, like maybe a lineman, maybe a corner. I don't know. But the guys that are nursing injuries, they're going to wait until September. Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley. I don't think – I mean, I know you made a point about Stanley. Well, could he get into some game action and get the rust off? Again, we kind of probably agreed on it before, but now really talking about it, circling back to it, because it's not like they play the regular season game the next week. You know, it's another 2 weeks off. And again, that whole like, I'm not reverting to like the bye week when they had the bye and had two consecutive weeks off and they played for 3 weeks and then got smacked at the mouth with the Titans the first go around. It's more like, is it really going to matter? Putting him out there for one or two series, you know, I don't know. There's both sides. I can see both sides. Well, yeah, get him one or two series, get him reps, get him acclimated to game speed, and then they're ready to go. But I don't think time off's going to hurt him. He's talking about Lamar's concern. I don't think time off's going to hurt some of these guys out there. Guys coming back from injury, I can see why they would be sidelined. But heart says Lamar went out there, but I don't think Lamar plays at all. I would actually be surprised if he did. I would be surprised if Hollywood played. I'd be surprised if even Sammy Watkins took the field. I would be surprised if Mark Andrews took the field. Any of those key players on offense, I'd be very, 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 very surprised. I don't know what the coaches have in store. They might have another game plan for him. They might say, hey, Lamar, guys, you're going to get one series to see what you guys can do and see if you're game ready, game speed ready, and then we're going to go forward to Monday Night Football. But I don't even think you take the chance. I think you just say, you know, let's continue practicing. And like with Torrey Smith's advice, continue practicing. Let's see what they handle their business behind closed doors and let them come out surprises on Monday night go right down the field and score touchdown after touchdown after touchdown and go, this is what we are missing. This is what we're waiting for. I don't know. I just don't see any chance where they play.
What position do you think is most wide open right now? Who, or what position do you think, you know, the Ravens need the most help with, and this is their chance to kind of show what they can do? We've already talked about Prochet. You know, you brought up your boy, the running back. You know, I personally think that, the backup quarterback position, I don't know. I mean, Tyler Huntley seems like the only option right now with Trace McSorley being hurt, but did he solidify? Did he impress enough during that second game? He played the whole thing for, you know, could he be a solid number two for Lamar? I mean, anything can happen, you know, knock on wood, nothing does, yeah. But you know, it is the longest regular season on record of the NFL. Lamar's got many, many things that could happen to him. You know, we don't know what what his plan is with the vaccination, but you know, the NFL has certain rules if you're unvaccinated that he's going to have to follow if, you know, God forbid something were to happen. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff up in the air. If could Tyler Huntley, you know, lead this team to a playoff run? Yeah, I don't, probably not, but I don't think any backup quarterback could either, unless you're Nick Foles. I don't know. Like, there's still a lot of question marks on this team. You know, who are – what position or who are you looking forward to most to make their final shot, their final chance? It's go big or go home at this point.
Final chance, final audition. I think – if anything, you would probably say Miles Boykin's name. That's would have me. To come up in the receiver court. Yeah, Brandon Jew. I'm going to say Brandon Boykin. Miles Boykin, because you just really haven't heard his name, and I feel like there has been some speculation that obviously he will be cut. It hasn't been happening yet, but if we're going to talk about the receiving core, I think that's the final – one of the final kind of make-it-or-break-it deals right there. I feel like the linebacking core with the slash pass rush, I didn't make a note of it, but we know we lost the LJ Ford for the year to our torn ACL in this game. It's one of the few negatives. It is a bummer. One of my favorites there. But again, you know, who's going to step up to that? And I think you're going to have to see the rookie, you know, Odafeuwe, step up in a big shoes to fill with. Obviously, he's wearing Judon's old number 99. He's got some shoes to fill there. Jalen Ferguson stepping up right now in a big way in the preseason. So you're seeing some emerge. I think the pass rush for me is a big important point, because it's more like the, you know, that's the weak spot of the defense, and that's where they needed to shine. And, you know, I think with the moves being made and the players that have been brought in, you know, who's going to cut it and who's not? You know, we know Patrick Queen's out there leading the charge. And I love to see – I don't know. I just love to see the pass rush really come into its own on this game.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've kind of brought it up about for each one of these games that the defense is kind of – we're kind of A-OK with what we're seeing on the defense, you know. Unfortunately, like with LJ Fort going down, that really does suck. But, you know, it's maybe that spot's kind of seeing what somebody can do, maybe move up in that spot. I mean, it sucks to lose for it. But I think the offense has got the biggest question marks right now, and we need to see what they can do in the third preseason game, or, you know, reports coming out of training camp after, you know, what Torrey Smith told us. So, I mean, we'll see what happens moving forward. But still, it's a preseason game. It should be something fun to watch. And hopefully the Ravens can be happy with what they have. Do you think it's only three. This is the last one. Now we have 2 weeks to wait until the regular season starts. What is that going to do for the team to kind of know preseason's over and it's down to the nitty gritty at this point? So you got 2 weeks to go. Do these guys kind of take it easy and put their feet up a little bit after this game, or is this more of a, all right, now it's time to get down to business type of attitude?
Did I hear you just say, put your feet up and take it easy? No, man. It's time to get this going. Monday Night Football. It's an 18-week, 17-game schedule upon them. Longest one yet. No, they have no time to rest, no time to put the feet up. Put the feet up in February when we won the thing. How's that? No, it's go time. It's make those final roster cuts, know who the final 53 men are, and let's get the business. Raiders are first on the docket, first of 17, and starts on the road and coming back home for a big one. So a big 1-2 punch on the national spotlight, primetime games, 2 weeks in Vegas, man. It's and I think that's where you're going to see the preparation really come to focus and practice. You know, you're not – this is the last time to see the backups and the third stringers and the guys that make the team, and you're not going to probably see as many starters, right? But just know that they have to work on being working on the craft. And this isn't a bye week for the playoffs where you can – this isn't a bye week during a regular season where guys go down to Florida, guys go here, and they go spend a week with their families and then come back for practice. It's – no, it's meetings and it's practices, and they're going to keep going. And, you know, even though training camps dissipated, it doesn't mean that stops. You're going to continue to see live footage of the team out in the practice facilities, interviews. You're going to – this team's going to not stop grinding. And – that goes back when, you know, again, James Prochet and the work ethic and the Mamba mentality of all that, you know, it's, you got to keep getting better. You got to keep working towards it. And the team can't relent. If they want to build upon the success of last year and the last couple of years, regular season, and then not getting the postseason win and finally getting that win, you can't relent. Because you think Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are taking time off? Do you think Patrick Mahomes is putting his feet up saying, I got this? It's just natural to me. I can just flick my wrist and throw touchdowns, or I can snap my fingers and get first downs. And You think Josh Allen's taking it easy? Absolutely not. You know, these guys are putting in the work and preparing, and now Ravens can't relent. And I think this next 2 weeks after the preseason, you're right, it's a weird thing because usually you play that last preseason game. Starters don't play, all the backups do. You make your evaluations, then you roll right to that first week of the or the regular season. Here it's that 2 week off, and it's going to be interesting to see what teams do in that time frame. You're going to see who's been working on the craft and who's coming out and going, "Oh, I was lazy. I was eating bonbons on the couch playing Call of Duty with the boys." And now you're going to see who's been putting in the work, brother. And I think the Ravens, they know it's at stake, and I don't think any team has the luxury at this point when you're days away from kicking off your regular season to be taking it easy. So, I think they're definitely not going to be putting the feet up and relaxing. Like where your head was at with that, because it's, you know, where your thinking was on that. It's like, yeah, they get to enjoy the time off right before the grind starts because it is the longest season yet, and they have all these weeks to grind. And I know it's one more game, and we can say it's one more game all we want, but we're just fans. We don't know what the grind's like with these guys and putting their bodies through that. But, you can't relent, and I think the Ravens are going to really, really go to work and put their heads down once this final preseason game, they can get that 20th win. And I think they will. I think the unit knows what's at stake. I think they continue what they've been doing, taking care of the football. That's another thing. You know, the Ravens haven't had too many blunders on turnovers. They've had, you know, and I would say this, I would be remiss to say this, they've had their blunders, fumbles, there were some tip interceptions, but compared to the teams they've been playing, the Ravens have 8 takeaways in 2 games. They had 6 in the first game, 2 this past week. You know, you break that down, it's 4, average of 4 a game. The Ravens are averaging 4 turnovers on defense a game. So the Ravens defense can do what they do and eliminate that and stop them dead in the tracks or take the ball away and get the fumble, force fumble recoveries. I think this team's going to be fine. And I think this, the final game, I don't know. And someone actually asked me this week, with the pressure of the streak, there was a question that I'm going to pose this on the show is, with the pressure of the final preseason game with the streak, you know, now being front and center of tying it now, you know, would that pressure get to some of these players and would they crack under that, given that, you know, they haven't handled this kind of pressure before? And it's not, I would say it's nothing because at this point, the Ravens tied the record. So if they end up losing it, they match the mark. So I don't think it's more pressure. I love the question, but I just think it's in regards to the preseason game. Yeah, there's absolutely pressure because you want to win the game. You want to win the game with the most, you know, least mistakes and the least injuries you can, but that's not the focus, obviously. But, you know, then you might say, well, Josh, it is because you're keeping score. Well, no, it's not the main focus of everything. But I feel like the team's really going to come together and get it done. I don't see a scenario where the Ravens can probably lose this game on the scoreboard. You know, they can win it all day on the field, you know, beating the assignments and hitting the routes, you know, making the tackles and getting the turnovers, but they could lose on the scoreboard easily. You know, but that's my point. I want to drive home is, I think the Ravens can certainly get it done with a win, close it out 20 in a row, close out this preseason with a win, and you're close to home. You're a bus ride down I-95, 295, whatever route they take. But anyway, they're both playoff teams from last year. They're both division winning teams from last year. And so in regards to looking at well, the Ravens weren't division winners, take that back. But in regards to the scheme of the game, I really think the Ravens are going to evaluate the talent correctly. And you're going to see some players emerge. And like you said in the beginning, take care of that moment and take advantage of the opportunity.
All right, so before we get out of here, there's a lot of noise going on around the Ravens because a media reporter asked Lamar Jackson on Tuesday. A lot of people, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler saying a lot of the people around the league think that they have Lamar Jackson figured out now, that they've, you know, they've seen him play for a couple seasons, that Lamar Jackson's finally been figured out. And Lamar was asked about that, and he said, "I'm just going to keep playing football. We're going to see, but I doubt it. I doubt it. I strongly doubt it." So like I said earlier, I mean, the Ravens love to be the underdogs. They love to be the ones told, oh, you can't do things, you can't do this, you can't do that. This seems like it's a little bit more fuel to the fire, but I mean, I think this is kind of a stupid question for me to ask you, but let me ask you, have other coaches figured out Lamar Jackson? Have they figured out how to defend against him? Is this guy still going to be the QB that we've seen the last couple years? What are your thoughts on this?
I'm going to reply the exact way he replied. I doubt it. They ain't figured him out yet. Bring it on. Everybody loves to hate Lamar for some reason. I don't know why. You know, let the kid play. I mean, he's in his fourth season, right? And I mean, what I love, and they just did the top 100, right? Lamar fell from first to 24th, which to me, someone asked me about that. I could care less. I'm sure if he asked Lamar about that, he could care less. He knows he's number one in his mind. And in other people, but what I find awesome, and I'm just talking about the general the public, the population. I'm not talking Ravens fans. I'm not talking friends. I'm not talking foes. I'm just saying the collective public scrutinizes and criticizes Lamar Jackson like it's their full-time job, and the right to their opinion. You know, they have some stats to back things up, and I have some stats to counter that too. And back my claims up and can counter their claims. We could play the game all day long. But what I find awesome is when I watched that top 100 and Lamar came up at 24, David Njoku called him a human joystick. There's other players out there, including defensive players. I mean, you heard what Mike Vrabel said. Go back and look at the segment. Lamar Jackson outran the whole Titans team in a playoff game, and even heard Mike Vrabel mutter that. He's like, oh, my God. He just outran the whole team. Holy crap. Like, it was like all his peers in the NFL, it's players that he plays against and coaches that he plays against, praise him. So why does the general public who don't play football, who don't get paid to cover it, oh, he can't throw. Oh, he can't do this. Because you what? Because he didn't win a playoff game? Because he didn't deliver Super Bowl in year one? Relax. There's my take. You know, we can criticize him on the show. Yeah, we'll point out Lamar when he does bad in games, and we'll point out when we feel the discussions had for him to play better, and when we feel the criticism's warranted. I'm not sitting here that this is a Lamar praise podcast. You know, we can put him down, but with the whole criticism, with all the accolades, and I stand by what Marcus Wiley said. When I think it was, what was the program on ESPN? I think it was Speak for Yourself or some one of his programs. He advocated that, and he had stats to back it up, and I got the video that Lamar Jackson should get more money than Josh Allen. And it's warranted because, as I said before, Josh Allen wasn't relevant until Stephon Diggs stepped on the field with that team. Him and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have a grand total. You know, they have all these accolades, right? And you can grand total all their stats and all that. But Lamar Jackson was a unanimous MVP, second only to Tom Brady in league history. I mean, we can talk about all day long, the records and doing this. And he's 30-7 as a starter, but he's 1-3 in the playoffs. I don't care. Again, Jim Kelly was 0-4 in the Super Bowl. Does that make him not Hall of Fame worthy or a great? Well, he was a great quarterback, Josh. Yeah, does that mean what did he do in the regular season? Because the postseason, he sucked. He couldn't even get it. He couldn't deliver a championship to his team. I mean, I'm going to keep falling back on that. Dan Marino never won a championship. I kind of feel like how T.O. did when he was defending Tony Romo. That's right. My quarterback, man. But it's just like, I hate to go into defensive, but I'm just like, what gives? And my whole thing is, I say all that to probably say this very simple point. Have the same energy. When you see me troll him on social media during the season when Patrick Mahomes throws a pick, oh, he threw a pick, everybody flip out. Like, it's like Lamar Jackson throws a pick during a game, and it's like they want to, like, send him packing. Like, oh, he sucks, bench him. But Patrick Mahomes, oh, because Patrick Mahomes what? Because he won a Super Bowl, doesn't hey, okay, cool. I just get fired up about it because I'm just – right now in year four, I'm like, enough's enough. Enjoy the talent. Enjoy the excitement. And if you don't like it, then don't watch him. If you don't like it, don't root for the Ravens. But – I don't know. I just get fired up because I'm just like, you know, people are entitled to their opinion. You can have it. But my whole thing is you can have that, but have the same energy for when the great ones screw up too, and they don't get it done in the same regard, in the same manner. because Lamar's an awesome athlete and awesome player, you know? Yeah, and I think what it is, the fans, they want a Super Bowl so bad, and I think that's what it is. We as fans want a Super Bowl so bad in this town that he's the first fall guy. Someone's got to take the fall for it. Okay, who's to blame? We didn't get it done. You know, it's, you know, enjoy the moment. We've had three straight playoff berths, at least they're there. You know, I would hate to miss the playoffs last three years. Then what? You know, at least they get there. At least they're winning. You know, he's 30-7. I rest my case. I just get, you know, it's a passionate subject for me, and I knew you were going to open that up. Had a feeling you were going to go there. Because I even had it in my notes to talk about number 24 spot on the top 100 and kind of the things. But that's my point, Brandon. His peers praise him, but the people aren't even in the league and just sit there and watch him on Sundays and watch him make a mistake. Oh, he sucks. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm going to follow his peers and the people who are paid to pay to play the game. The people who are paid to coach the game say what about him. I look at that and it's total polar opposites. I'm like, nah, I'm going to go with what they say. Long-winded. Got me on a ramp, bro.
Yeah, I figured that was going to happen, but I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it.
I know. Hey, it is what it is, man. But again, you know, that's why I've always said, just enjoy the ride, enjoy the moment. You know, these special players come and go. I just learned to embrace it, you know, and stop comparing errors, stop comparing what this predecessor did. I don't know. I think it's just, it's really crazy. It's like you look at the Packers, right? They go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Like, how lucky can you get? Yeah. But I would love to hear Packers chatter when he first stepped on the field and he throws a pick. Oh, he's no Brett Favre. What do they say now? And how long did it take Aaron Rodgers to win a title? Late in his career. And he ain't won one since. Super Bowl 45. And we're going on Super Bowl 55. No. But he's got three NFC title straight title appearances. Does that mean that Aaron Rodgers sucks, you know, as much as Lamar does because he couldn't even get his team to the Super Bowl in the last three straight years? No, it's tough. Winning and getting the Super Bowl is even tougher, let alone trying to win three or four playoff games and raising the trophy. The Ravens are there and they're in the dance, and that's all I care about. Just get to the dance, and they'll make their noise when they can. But for four straight years, Joe didn't get it done, and he finally did. This is Lamar's fourth straight year. They made the playoffs. So what? Did Joe got a playoff win in each of the first four seasons? Didn't amount to a championship. But then you might say, well, Josh, at least he got in there. Well, same thing with Lamar. It's just, he's burning his own path. Let him do it. You know, this isn't year 15. It's year 4. The dude's 23 years old. Like, give him a break. You know, I don't know. And I'll rest my case. Mike Greenberg also had the same rant. He also called out Peyton Manning's blunderous postseason career early in his career. And he also had the same rant that, you know, you shouldn't really judge him by what he's done, because what he's done is being awesome. But I guess when you compare him to the greats, yeah, he sucks. But hey, Tom Brady's the GOAT. Everybody else sucks compared to him. He's got 7 of them. No one can touch that. He's played in 10 of them. So, in my opinion, if you want to side with the Lamar people, everybody that ain't Tom Brady completely sucks as a quarterback, because they ain't got the success he's got. That's the pinnacle. So, rest my case, brother. Whew. You sure pumped me up like that shirt you're wearing. Like, I pump you up. I was waiting to say that all show. Pump you up.
Well, you know what, Lamar, he's got lots of confidence. I like the way he answered it. He was like, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and yeah, I doubt they figured it out.
Yeah.
And I like the way he handled it. Do I think that the NFL and other coaches have figured him out? I'm pretty sure they know him better than they did year one or year two, even, because we're in year 4. There's more game tape on him.
Right.
So if they haven't figured out a part of his game, at least by now, then those coaches need to be fired, because I mean, you know, they should be
like the Chiefs coaches, because Mahomes got figured out, didn't he? He looked flat out embarrassed like a kid. Embarrassed, right. So, nothing. And then people are going to say, what was his line? No, it wasn't, because he's Patrick Mahomes. He's the magician, make all be all. He's the best quarterback that's ever lived. Like, nah, if he was great, he would have overcame that and would have made plays. Like, he got embarrassed. I don't care. And it, I love it when people are like, well, put Lamar or Joe Flacco behind that line and see how they do, or Tom Brady. I'm like, I don't care. It was a starting offensive line in the Super Bowl, and they didn't get their job done. You know, why don't you go point the fingers at them? I don't know. But, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, Lamar is a dual threat. He can run, he can throw. That's what you want in a quarterback. And he's got some, you know, some new toys out there. Like, we are talking about the wide receiver core and it kind of being up in the air. You know, he's got Rashad Bateman now. He's got Sammy Watkins. He didn't have those two guys last year. You know, Mark Ingram was the number one running back. Now it's J.K. Dobbins. The running back's gotten quicker and younger in that move. So it is the offensive line. It's a new offense. We haven't seen them on the field yet, you know, as a whole. So it's all up in the air. But have they figured out Lamar? They've learned about Lamar, absolutely. But have they figured him out? No, because he can throw, he can catch, he can do all those things. So I mean, it's that's why we watch football. It's an unpredictable game. And I think Lamar, when he does come back, whether it be against the Washington football team or up against the Raiders, it's going to be a fun game to watch. And either way, us fans are going to have a good time watching it. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
We sure have, my friend. It's been awesome. Closing out week number two, heading into week three of the preseason. Quit the Raven, never murder.
All right, guys. If you want to continue, I love it. I love it.
You love it.
I want to keep doing it. All right.
I feel you.
You gotta start your. That's gotta be your website. Nevermer.com.
There you go.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing anything that we find really interesting out there over on our Facebook page. So definitely go over there and like our Facebook page. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free, hopefully on Apple Podcasts. Well, I don't know. Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Tell them that you can't hear us, and maybe they'll figure it out. And then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Preseason game three up against the Washington football team. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so very much. And yes, leave us good reviews. Apple Podcasts, bad reviews. Get that thing fixed. Come on, guys. Our listeners want the content. They love Apple to give it to them. So let's just deliver it, shall we? Anyway, with that being said, Brandon, thank you all so very much for a fiery chat today. I mean, it was it's always good to get fired up, and rightfully so.
Preseason. But can you imagine the regular season? This is just preseason getting all fired up.
Just wait for that. But we'll see how it goes this year. We all wish the best for the Ravens as they embark for a fourth straight playoff berth, and then some. They need to build upon each and every season, but it all starts with completing the preseason, completing the streak. Yes, Josh, streak doesn't matter, but we get it. But it's important. We just covered why I feel like it's important. We feel like it's important. And 20 wins. It's impressive in the preseason. It's never been done. Never been done, because the Ravens could be the only team to do it and pretty much ever. So it'll just be a pretty cool stat and something to hang your hat on, is maybe for more Ravens trivia, or just being just prideful that the Ravens do awesome things, just like winning 20 straight preseason games that don't matter. So, but we just hope that they win when it does matter. And that's all we really care about. And that's what we get passionate about here and why we are so critical. And I get why. We're always critical, because we just want it that much bad. We want that third title. We want Lamar to prove him wrong. We want Lamar and company get it. We want to see him succeed. And I think that, just like with whole parents, right? Well, why are our parents hard on us? Or why is somebody's hard on her? You watch Hell's Kitchen. Why is Gordon Ramsay yelling? You know, whether it's for the cameras or for real, who knows? But he demands. It's demanding. We demand better and we get it. But the guy's doing a lot. Let's praise him for what he did and talk about Lamar and praise the team for what they've been doing. It is a team sport. It ain't just Lamar getting it done, but coaching staff and everybody, you know, putting the team on their back and getting things done. And I feel like the Ravens are going to hone all in on those ingredients, come away out of Washington with a 20th straight preseason win. And got 2 weeks to prepare for the Las Vegas Raiders. First Ravens regular season game in Las Vegas. It's the first regular season game for the new stadium, Allegiant Stadium, on the Strip in Las Vegas, opening up on Monday Night Football style. It's going to be awesome. You know, we got Chucky Doll on the sideline. You know, we got Harbaugh on our sideline. Got Lamar. We got Carr on the other sideline. It's going to be awesome, but we got to get through the Washington football team in this weekend's game. And with that being said, let's close out the preseason style. 20th straight win. Everybody healthy, all hands on deck, everybody playing their positions correctly, playing every hard, playing every snap hard, playing to every down, and coming out of there with a win. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.